Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Friday, May 14th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Looks like I'm unprepared. A lot of good things to go over today, but it's going to be a little bit of a quick show, you know, in regard to how we normally do these shows. The reason being is because I have an interview with Nathan after this to go over some really interesting stuff. I forgot to ask whether or not it was live. If it is, I will make sure and try and get a link in for everybody once we're done here so you can tune in. I'm so neurotic about these little things, but there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of important things in regard to gain of function that we've already touched on. We're going to get into. We're going to talk about the vaccines, of course. We're going to talk about a microchip discussion that is, in fact, literally by definition, a microchip. That's this new thing they're discussing. Look at this new thing we have that's totally small and can be injected and can track your temperature. And we can see how this can be used for mass injections for COVID-19. But yet it's totally fake news. If you talk to anybody else in any other circle, not even related to COVID-19. All we're going to talk about today is that this is something that exists, something that's even being discussed as what we should be doing in the future to help this thing. Now, look, the point is, it's possible that this is something that could be utilized now. Is it? Who's know? I mean, nobody should know that other than if there's somebody doing that and if the people around them that know it. We should not have false certainty today, but we should go, is it possible? Obviously it is. And we'll get into the information therein, as well as gain of function towards the end, which I mentioned. But if we have to cut close, that'll be the thing we push over till tomorrow. But to get right into it, to not waste any more time, I want to start off by giving a quick shout out to Derek Brose and this great documentary series he's been put together. This is part one, but he has part two actually coming out, I believe, today or tomorrow, The Pyramid of Power. It's worth your time. I wanted to make sure and give it a shout out for everybody out there so they could check it out for themselves, as well as remember the Greater Reset coming up starting May 24th. And on top of that, I haven't been shouting it out, but on May 29th, I'll be speaking publicly in Franklin Circle in Tennessee in regard to medical freedom and PCR tests and all the stuff we always talk about. But I have committed to speaking publicly for one of these rallies, so that will be on May 29th. I'll make sure and shout it out again for those that want to make sure to be there. I am going to try to be in person for the Greater Reset as well. That's depending on a couple factors at the moment. But to start off, I want to just a couple quick points. These are actually probably things I should have cut off, but don't waste any more time. This is just something funny I thought I'd make you laugh with before I give you something that's pretty rough to look at next. As this Disclosed.tv tweet points out, Chicago has released more than 1,000 feral cats onto the streets. Great. Hoping to end its long-running ranking as the rat capital of the U.S. You know, I remember a state that tried to do this one time before, Hawaii, with this issue with snakes, or was it, I forget how it went. It was mongoose or snakes, and bottom line is it went really awry. Go figure. Releasing a bunch of animals to stop another group of animals. What could possibly go wrong? This is ridiculous. And as I said, this is the epitome of government. Don't fix the problem, just treat the symptoms, right? In a way that merely moves the problem somewhere else. Then they can renew calls for funding the next year, of course. Mark my words, and I'm kind of being facetious here, next year will be feral cats on unknown origin running wild. It's just ridiculous to pretend, one, that we know that will actually immediately solve the problem or in any way solve the problem, other than just introducing another problem, feral cats, which I would argue people don't want roaming the streets or wherever else. And funny enough, somebody comments down here by saying, what do you think they're just going to do? Dump them out of a truck? I'm like, where did that even come from? Nowhere did I say that was what was going to happen. My point is, whether you place them carefully in certain directions or whatever you mean that you think I misunderstood, it doesn't matter where or how you release them. You're putting feral cats into the environment. It's ridiculous. As I said, breaking, and this is just to add to the joke, breaking news, just in, Chicago to release feral tigers to address the runaway feral dog issue that was created by trying to stop the feral cats that were released last year to stop the rat problem caused by a lack of government sanitation and public services. You get the point? It's the reason this is happening is not because of rats. Rats aren't happening. Rats are an issue because of malfeasance, because of negligence. Yes, people can be unsanitary. But, you know, there is actually things that keep that from happening, you know, laws and different, but the government and the state and the county are not doing their job. So let's release cats. Good times. But this is something I talked about before that I want to just quickly shout out. Of course, they like to autoplay. I mentioned this a while back when Gates was being accused of sexual abuse and all these different things that were coming out. I think that was the correct accusation. In any case, Gates' associate is now cooperating with the investigation. He just pled guilty to child sex trafficking. Make sure we understand how important this is, especially for all those Republican side people in the two-party illusion that somehow think that this only happens on the Democrat side. It's your government, guys. And I'm not saying that everybody everywhere in government is all child traffickers. Certainly possible. I don't think that's the case. My point is that this is there, and it's always been there, and it's an open secret that we don't want to acknowledge. And I just think it's important to realize Epstein is not an unrealistic thing. It's obvious. They were trafficking children for political, high politically ranking people, and then using that for blackmail. It was a sexual blackmail network. Are completely stemmed back to the Israeli government working with our government as well. The point is, this is obvious that it's there. It's right under the surface. Now, whether Gates is involved, it's hard to see that not being a likely possibility. But it shows you that there's something seedy there. And this should speak to everything else that we're trying to show you. And just to quickly give you one of the many articles written on The Last American Vagabond throughout the years, six case studies that point to massive pedophilia rings at the highest levels of power. This isn't some conspiracy theorist concept, even though that's exactly what this would be, a theory about a conspiracy covering up this disgusting reality. This does, you know, the term, the way they use it. But realize this is well-documented information coming from, in fact, mainstream articles, including the Washington Times here, as well as a lot of other ones, pointing out very, very, very obviously covered up massive pedophilia rings throughout government going back as far as you want to look. Just to make that a nice start to the show here, realize that this is the government that we're dealing with. Whether one of them, some of them, all of them, doesn't matter. There's questionable actions happening, and yet we're blindly trusting right now, which is crazy to me. Bringing this into COVID, because this is really about not happening under the guise of COVID, but the Pentagon is now surveilling Americans without a warrant. According to a new letter they obtained, Vice, one of the answers to the letter is classified, but that one specifically deals with whether DOD is buying the internet browsing data of Americans. You know, obviously criminal activity based on our, you know, rights. We pretend that the government acknowledges, even though they don't have the right to remove them. And the point was that they don't acknowledge them. Recognize that this is all, you know, because COVID, right? Even though it's always been happening, even though the NSA and Clapper, and they all lied to us and never stopped it. And we just kind of became okay with that obvious, egregious crime. But it's going on now in your face. And you know why that's just becoming just accepted? Because COVID, right? Who cares? Emergency and stuff. National security or whatever. Rights are so 2010. People have lost their minds about what's going on today. And the government is taking every inch they can. Now, they're just surveilling you. And a couple points forward, you're going to see why this is even more alarming, because it's clearly being used to push into a whole new realm of post-9/11, post-COVID security state. Now, before we get into that, I want to make sure you guys understand, because this is all tied in with the same agenda, what's going on in Israel still. And I'm going to try to run through these reasonably quick, because Robert and I weren't able to connect today. As you can imagine, what his family is going through right now is unbelievable. And I'll leave that for tomorrow to talk about. But he has family that's there and watching people die, watching neighbors blow up. I mean, this is horrific. But just realize what's happening. And this is a great article for you to understand and read. The Palestinian people are under attack, but unified. And this time they're fighting back. It's a very important thing to understand the reality of what this is. The reality of the fact that these people are legally defined as an occupied territory by the United Nations, which gives them the right to armed rebellion. So when they are being bombed and attacked, regardless of how it started, and usually not even, just leave it at that, regardless of how it started, when they fire back, and somebody dies, you understand that is literally legal under the concept of what's happening here. Israel's government is why this is even happening, because what they need to do legally is not occupy this territory. That's the truth, regardless of all the political talking points and concept. The UN has never faltered on this. It is an illegally occupied territory. They have a right to armed rebellion. This is constant. And all we can do is scream about back and forth while people are being murdered. Dan Cohen points out Israel just destroyed the Al-Sharaq Tower in central Gaza City. Numerous families lived there. And this is the one we reported on from Sarah Abdallah. Several media outlets. Nobody seems to care about that, right? Media outlets. No big deal unless it happened in Syria. And then you accuse Assad of trying to cover things up. Of course, it doesn't matter when Israel does it, though, right? Because it's all fighting for freedom. And it's interesting, negotiations to oust Netanyahu stall amid Jerusalem crisis. You know, just like Robert's pointing out, almost like it was planned that way. Right? You know, the criminal that's been right now, there's like multiple indictments, and this guy is a criminal. Netanyahu is a criminal, and they're trying to put him in jail, put him behind bars. And every time they're about to do something, what do you know? A bomb happens, or a Gaza, something goes off. Now they're negotiating to get him out of there. And what do you know? And this is exactly what Robert said, exactly how he wrote it out, that this is, and this is Israeli media is calling this too. He is using this. Even if you think he's doing the right thing, he's still using this for political gain, which is horrific. This is quite interesting. He says, yeah, I know this looks bad, but don't go drawing any hasty conclusions here. What do you know? Look at this. Representative Richie Torres saying firing rockets at civilians in Israel is an act of terrorism, period, except when the illegal government is occupying the territory from which those rockets are coming, which means that they have the right to armed rebellion. Don't facts matter today, Representative Richie? I guess not when you're being funded by the Israeli government, right? And don't pretend that that means anything other than the lobby group that we're pointing to is aggressively funding all of our politicians. But that's fake news when the moment you say it out loud, even though it's documentable. Isn't that great? And they say, thank you, Representative Richie, for standing with our partner and ally as it confronts terrorism. Or, you know, armed rebellion legally from an illegally occupied territory. You know, yeah, either or, whatever you want to call it, right? And they just keep going forward. Here's another one. Here's Rubio. Thank you, Rubio, for standing with our partner and ally as it, uh-oh, now it became Iran-backed terrorism. Now, they're even just shuffling in the narratives however they want, right? Thanks for, you know, helping us fight off any one of the enemies we want to frame this as. Thank you, GOP leader, for standing with our ally, Israel, Kevin McCarthy, right? Thank you, Representative. You realize this goes on and on and on and on. All of your politicians are going, terrorism, and this is bad, and we spam with Israel, every single one of the, look at this, guys. And AIPAC, of course, does not miss the beat to stand up and go, thank you for doing that, thank you for doing that, thank you for back, thank you for doing what we pay you for. That's what this means. Why do they all need the right to stand? I mean, the point is, even if you agree with what they're saying, why is it they are obligated to stand up and go, that thing we agree with, it's in the middle of a conflict? Because they know who signs their checks. Now, this bothers people when you speak like this, but it's very real. That's what lobbying is. We could be talking about the big pharma group lobbying with mainstream media, or you could be talking about AIPAC lobbying our politicians to support Israel. Just because it becomes an Israel discussion does not then make it racist. That is the childish sidestep of the reality that's happening today. The horrific thing is that the law is clear. The facts are clear. They just like to side with their political ally as they murder children in the streets. On and on and on. Yes, people have been killed in Israel as well, occupied Palestine as well, but we'll call it Israel proper. And that's because of what's been happening. That's because of the occupied territory. And by the way, that's because Hamas and Islamic Jihad were warning Israel, if you keep murdering civilians, we are going to do something about it, over and over. Then they bombed that building. So they acted, which shows you restraint, which shows you that they had these before and chose not to use them. And they were just using the rockets as a to make a point that had no guidance. And suddenly Israel kept murdering civilians. Understand, at this point, we had hundreds of people killed and we still were talking single digits over here in Israel. This is the point. And it kept going. So they acted. And all your politicians can do is stand up and scream about how we support this illegally occupying government. Family of six among dead as Palestinians flee heavy fire from Gaza. This is a ground and air invasion. But it's not really technically an invasion when Israel controls the whole territory. This is a bunch of people already in control, already under occupation, that are being shot at inside of a control area they're not allowed to leave from. How do we think this is anything other than obvious war crimes and just crimes against humanity? See, here I am. I cannot just skim past this stuff. It makes me sick to watch the obvious reality. Now, this isn't because I have a political side. It's because I don't care who is in this position. We know the reality. They're not allowed to leave. They're literally occupied, which means they have the right to fight back. And they are just shooting into a barrel. They are murdering these people. Also recognize, not everybody in Gaza is Hamas. They are killing people who are not even associated or working with or even agree with what Hamas is doing. That's collective punishment. It's 1,000 different ways to frame this as obvious war crimes. And all your media can do is point at the other side. All your government can do is ignore the crimes. These are not good people. I don't care what you think. I don't care whether they're doing good things for anybody else. To ignore this makes them bad people. That means you do not care. At the very least, you're willing to ignore such horrific acts for something that benefits you or somebody you want to benefit. Israel pounds Gaza to curb Palestinian militants, but rockets fly. You see how they frame this? right? Israel pounds Gaza, not Hamas, but the entire area, millions of people, half of them children, and just bombs the area all over the place. We already showed you multiple civilian areas, but to curb militants, and then rockets are still flying, so it's all normal, right? No, none of this makes sense. Six said killed in West Bank, not even in Gaza, guys, as Israel faces new protest fronts in Lebanon and Jordan. See, the point is they're now seeing people all around the world stand up for this. Even people in the United States that once had said, well, Israel's our ally, are now going, wow, this is hard to ignore. And you'll even see Israeli government war crimes not trending, but being used as a hashtag, which is crazy to me. That's my thing, right? The government, not the Israel as the country. And people are starting to recognize that. Jordan, Lebanon, we're seeing Syria stand up. We're seeing all these different groups start to do things to support what's happening. I haven't confirmed whether this was just a ploy from Israel or whether this was in fact Syria doing something. I don't personally think it makes sense to see Syria, of all things, fire rockets in the middle of all this when Syria has far better technology. So I don't know about this one just yet, but I do know in general that Syria is in support of Palestine. The government, I should say. And of course, you know, when you want to have an open discussion in a democracy to make sure all the information is being heard, what do? You block that discussion entirely and say, nobody can talk about it. Obviously, right? No, that's what the U.S. government did, though. In the U.N. Security Council meeting where they said, let's talk about what's happening in Gaza. The U.S. says, no, you're not allowed to. They objected to a planned meeting on the Israeli bombing campaign in Gaza. They objected to it. Why? Because that's how this has gotten to. Is where this has gotten to. Where the UN it's a controlled entity. Even, I mean, it's long since been anything that can make Israel and the United States have a veto power over anything, which makes nothing happen. How in the world do you veto a conversation about something that is ongoing? It's because they've already made their mind up. The U.S. government, one, doesn't care what Gaza has to say, and two, doesn't want anybody knowing what's really going on. If you wanted transparency and honesty, this is the opposite of what you would do. It's just, this is your government, guys. This is the government that is lying to you about everything else we're going to talk about today, if I can get through this in enough time. And I simply said, this is what complicity in war crimes looks like. Nothing new for old Joe. U.S. blocks U.N. Security Council meeting on Gaza violence. This is what defending terrorism looks like. And Netanyahu says, Hamas pays. Okay, Hamas, right? What about all the children that were killed? What about the buildings that were civilians? Oh, it's all Hamas, because that's what Netanyahu says, and that's what the media says, too. That's what your government backs up, too. Despite the fact it's childishly easy to show that that's not the full picture. But then why, if they're so, you know, journalistic integrity and all about the truth and fighting for human rights, then why do they just lie too? Because they're lying about what they care about. Spoon feeding the basic reality here, people. I know you all in the chat know this, or whoever's tuning in now before we post it everywhere else, because we are on the pirate channel today because YouTube decides to keep us off the platform because they don't like the truth either. But who needs YouTube anymore? Hopefully we have people watching on Super U. Doesn't look like we do, though. I don't know why exactly. Please make sure you guys share this out. Oh, you know, it doesn't look...
You posted.
That's frustrating. Well, let's continue. going forward, Netanyahu says, to finish what he said, pays and will pay a heavy price, as it is not over yet, and they will not escape our strikes. Right, which means, Guardian 2 says, Israel vows not to stop attacks until there's complete quiet. Right, so the fact that Israel was continuing, don't forget where this began, right? This did not begin with rockets flying, despite what the media wants to tell you. We were showing you this before it began. We showed you that this was starting because of settlers that were creating they were marching through the streets and beating up Palestinians. They were invading, pushing out Palestinians out of their homes. Right. I forget the name of the town, but this was Lavaha was this openly racist group that even the Israeli media calls racist, the Jewish supremacy group that was out there beating people up, pushing people homes, and it got out of control. And you saw this huge move happen, and Palestinians were tired of just sitting and taking it. So they stood up and they pushed back. And all of a sudden, oh, you can't defend yourselves. We're not even talking bombs or guns yet. We're talking simple fights. And it got out of control because Israel can't stand that in any way, seeing Palestinians stand up for themselves. Guys, and this is all documented. I mean, we went over this in the show. And then suddenly all you see is Israel doing things to push back against what they were doing. And then the Palestinians said, stop killing civilians. Stop doing this or we're going to respond. This piece by piece we've shown you. And the media doesn't care, or they're just that incompetent. So now when you see this starting from that and led to them pushing, fighting, which then led to people being killed. And then they said, look, they started it, which they do every time. And now it's going back and forth. So it brings us to here. It's now Israel saying, okay, so we're going to keep doing this until they stop doing anything. So you're going to bomb them into the ground, one of the most densely civilian populated areas on the planet, until they stop fighting back? Yeah, that sounds like freedom to me, doesn't it? What a democracy. Sure sounds like they care about human rights, too. What about the hundreds of millions of children that are in this territory? Who cares? And as Sarah says, translation, Israel vows to keep committing genocide in Gaza. You understand, it doesn't matter what you think about this topic. It doesn't matter your political opinions. The law, international law, very clearly defines this as a war crime, period. That's why they keep saying the UN is anti-Semitic, despite the odd reality that the UN, the Israel and the United States have complete control over that body. Isn't that funny? But it's anti-Semitic because the UN has never changed, even though it's not anti-Semitic, it's just reality, that this is an occupied territory and they have the right to fight back. Bombing this and continuing to do so and committing collective punishment is obviously genocide and obviously a war crime. So when he openly says we're going to keep doing that thing that the UN says is a crime, he's admitting to a crime in real time. But your government doesn't care. Israel dropped bombs on a Palestinian Christian monastery in Gaza. So all those Christians out there, maybe Republicans in the two-party illusion that think you're supporting, you know, maybe you're a Christian Zionist. Maybe you support Israel because you think Christians are supposed. Look, this is constant. It's indiscriminate. A Palestinian Christian monastery in Gaza. Have you seen anything about that on the likes of BBC, CNN, any of them? No. After bombing an orphanage, the Israeli colonial military bombed and damaged Rosary Sisters' school and the monastery in Gaza. Well, let's pretend like they just made these all up, though, you know? It's all fake news. Look, I mean, look. Where are you at, Christians? I'm a Christian. This makes me sick. This is blasphemous. Blowing up a church. I mean, this is exactly what, if it happened, even if they lied about it in reverse, it would be all over the media. Palestinians bombing churches or synagogues, right? It doesn't matter when it happens on the good guy side. This is something to understand. A scene, this is Gaza. Children still celebrating during heavy IDF shelling. Look it out, just so we're aware, when you see the orphanage or that building full of people get bombed, they are not trying to avoid the civilian. It's all civilian areas. There's civilians packed in this area. Look at how close this is to children just playing right here. And what, you know, what makes me even more upset is how normal it is for them. Like, they're just jumping away. The kids are used to that. You understand, it's just a wayward rocket, missile, or the fact that they decide to bomb this area that they, just like that, and they're gone, which is happening all over Gaza right now. But let's pretend like they're all terrorists there jumping on their trampolines with their family. You know, totally makes sense. And as Whitney points out, isn't it fascinating that the U.S. establishment is launching a war on domestic terror supposedly because of the threats of ethno-nationalists while avidly supporting Israel's openly ethno-nationalist government? Sort of like the way that they openly support the Ukrainian fascist government, the openly white supremacist government, while doing this, fighting exactly that in this country, like, or pretending, you know, it's such a wild, it's exactly the same as fighting a war on terrorism directed at Muslim people and then using those people all around the world. And in fact, creating the same groups that you then point to say, we're fighting that over there. It's the same. I constantly point this out, guys. They seem to have three plays, play one, two, and three. And all they do is just slightly tweak them. Same with this reason, all we see is these blunt, ham-fisted regime change efforts like Venezuela and whatever else. It's the same thing, applying it in a different way. They're supporting and creating the very thing they're using to justify what they're doing. It is rudimentary. Makes me crazy. But she makes an excellent point. And here's something that we saw today. And I just found this to be so telling. This is so manipulative and just blatant fear-mongering. The Department of Homeland Security issues an updated terrorism advisory. Now get this. Violent extremists, not necessarily foreign or domestic, just violent extremists. Could be white supremacists, domestic, could be Iran bad guys. Doesn't matter, right? Just bad guys out there, violent extremists, which is just, again, that's just becoming the new what? Terrorism. It's just such a broad concept. Anyway, an advisory that violent extremists may exploit the easing of COVID restrictions. What do you know? Look at it coming together like we told you it would. Now, guess what? They may exploit easing of COVID restrictions, quote, to conduct attacks against a broader range of targets after previous public capacity limits reduced opportunities for lethal attacks. So there's a couple of things that take away from this. One, it's that restrictions were keeping you safe. And now that they're removed, bad guy terrorists will abuse that. And what exactly are they abusing? Oh, that's right. The fact that people are normally going about their lives like we did before this year. Which, by the way, that's not what's actually going to happen. Normal is no longer in the dictionary in this regard, but that's what they're pretending, right? We're all going to go back to normal and just be living our lives and walking around. And, oh no, that means there's going to be more people in areas, which means they could bomb areas and kill more people. Oh, are there credible threat? No, there's no information, but we're just generally saying now that we're all out and about, we're going to increase the risk of terrorism because now we're out and about. So why weren't we code red up until this year for COVID? Because everyone's out and about, right? This is ridiculous. This is a, again, clumsy effort to pretend that COVID restrictions, in not just because COVID, but because terrorism, were keeping you safe. And now that we're reducing those restrictions, right? It says that they will conduct attacks against a broader range of targets after previous public capacity limits reduced opportunities. So implying that the COVID restrictions reduce their ability to hurt us. That's what that says. This is so manipulative and ridiculous. But recognize the third thing is that they're bringing together the idea of violent extremist, foreign or domestic, and COVID-19. So now anybody who may be trying to, you know, abuse this COVID restriction easing, whether that's maybe they frame it as somebody trying to spread COVID by not doing what they should, and that becomes an extremist. Like, that's a stretch, but you can see where this is going. It's an obvious push in the direction of tying these things together. And bottom line, a meaningless statement about how things may happen because we're doing normal stuff again. My God. Talk about shameful. That's a shameless attempt to scare people about living their lives. Oh, and guess what? Right away, like literally, May 14th, 2:49, 6 p.m., just in, security incident at Joint Base Andrews, bomb squad investigates car for explosion. Sure, maybe it's just a coincidence, maybe it's just happened and whatever, or maybe it's because there's, terrorism stuff coming, impending, beep, 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 you know, like it's coming your way, you know, it's like, it seems like they keep just letting you know what's about to happen. I mean, or, you know, they're just that good at their jobs. But you know what? History's made clear that that's very obviously not the case. But bringing this over to masks and the control mechanism that is being used in COVID-19 right now to kind of transition into this biosecurity state, right? Recognize that's what this is, right? This concept is about keeping this infrastructure, right? As Whitney points out, and Whitney and I've talked about, this has always been this direction. Because remember, this is not just about viruses, sort of like the parasite stress theory. It seems to be a more of a means to an end, but it doesn't mean that that focal point won't go away. But terrorism kind of just transitioned into virus danger, right? And now they're just kind of bringing this full circle. It's about the greater reset. And if I get to it today, we're going to get to a point about CISA and the new cybersecurity thing that Biden put out and how it's very obviously about creating the infrastructure for control of the internet, of your lives, and all under the guise of fighting COVID and terrorism simultaneously. Shocking, I know, right? Everyone was like, oh, it's been a week and that didn't happen. You guys were wrong. Well, maybe we were, certainly possible, but things don't tend to pan out in 1 week or in the election push, right? That election special we did, how much of that has actually come to pass months after that? It's always good to keep paying attention. But keeping this going forward, no more masks. Fully vaccinated people can stop wearing masks indoors and outdoors. Okay. Well, that doesn't make much sense, does it? As I've been saying from the very beginning, every time this changed, whether it was a single mask mandate in Florida, wherever else, they stand up and they go, no more masks here. Okay, why? That's a great news because I've been pointing out why they're dangerous and why nobody should be doing this for in any case. But why now? Did you realize you were wrong? Or did you see something new that changed your opinion? In any case, we have every right in the world to know what it is. So when the US government comes out from the top and says, well, no, you're good now, even though we know vaccines don't stop the transmission. And we'll get to that again today, where they clearly trying to reiterate the lie. I might as well just show it now. They exposed their lie again. CDC, new real world study, which I love, a real world study, which, by the way, typically means not peer reviewed, not random controlled, which is the opposite of gold standard. But who cares about that in COVID clown world? Moderna, Pfizer vaccines confirmed. But guess also note that they just kind of leave out the other ones. Isn't that odd? Almost like they only want to focus on the mRNA vaccines. Isn't that weird? But they confirm strong effectiveness, which again, people then go, see, I knew it. They stopped transmission. No, they don't. No. And this is, understand, this is their confirmation study, and they still don't get to the transmission. Here's all they say. Highly effective at preventing sickness. Ah, so we're on the same boat here. Two-dose vaccines reduce the risk of getting sick with COVID symptoms by 94%. Well, what do you know? So it's not transmission, it's just reducing symptoms, which is exactly what we've been saying the whole time. And this is their follow-up study. Make sure you understand that. This is not something back from January 2021. This is now, today. This is their follow-up, which means they tried to find out. Nope, and they just still got... In fact, all it did was go down. Before it was 97%. Now it's 94% at reducing symptoms. I feel good about this one, right? Oh, also note, they say among those who were fully vaccinated, and by 82% for those that only got one. Isn't that a weird thing to include? They know that's going to make people go, well, I'll just get one then. Yes, exactly. It's just about getting this in your arm at all costs. That's why they kind of waffled about it. We'll just get one first, and we'll deal with it then. Weird. Except from the beginning, it was like, you have to get two no matter what, or it doesn't even work. And now it's like, well, you know, whatever. Pretty weird. But at symptoms, not transmission. How pathetic. I mean, this is their doubling down of their lie. But as he says here, okay, why now? What changed from last week to today? Right? Their entire narrative flipped 180 degrees. It was everyone has to wear masks all the time, or we're all going to die. And I'm being, you know, a little bit hyperbolic. They generally saying, I mean, that's really what they're saying, but that, you know, just keep you safe, even though that's not what's happening. And it says, is it new science? Or is it that they know we know they know masks? I love how he says that. Or is it that they know we know they know masks do the square root of nothing to protect anyone from anything in any way, anytime, for any reason? Well put. Well put. But you see, again, if they have something new, we should be told, but they don't. So I want us to consider an interesting thought here, interesting thought that was shared with me by my mother, of all people. So nothing's changed, right? I mean, things are changing, evolving this whole, I mean, they're claiming the numbers are going down, even though the vaccine's only been given to a third total for both shots. So there's no way that's achieving the herd immunity they're claiming that's there. In general, the risk that they state is still there. Yet the mandates are being removed seemingly all over the place now across the country for anybody vaccinated, even though we clearly have not reached the herd immunity they're shooting for. Clearly, it doesn't stop transmission. So does this mean that they want us to be able to potentially pass something on? Right? We've talked about the idea of the self-spreading vaccines. Now, I'm not saying we can prove that's what's happening right now. But isn't it odd that this huge discussion came out about people being around vaccinated people, like somebody we know that had their period after being on menopause for years, after being around somebody else who was vaccinated? And there's a lot of strangeness happening here. So why this on a dime? Because you know what? Right now in Nashville, for instance, you can look on the TV and people are packed down there, shoulder to shoulder in downtown Nashville. No masks, nothing. So where's the enforcement? Didn't they just flip out about everything? It's almost like they are giving this guise so people then rush back to normalcy and then something happens. Just a thought, isn't it? Also understand that this whole time, what's been happening to us? We've been, so those not listening anyway, or those listening, I should say, we've been getting unhealthy, sitting in our homes. Our immune systems have dropped. No sunlight. Now we're jumping back into it with something. Right? What changed? Why lift the restrictions? We have a right to know. Now here's what I said. This was just my thing. I just want to make sure people didn't think I was promoting masks. But here's what I thought about this. Now, did I read that or did I forget? Oh, I didn't read it. That's what I meant to read this. So my tweet here about that, I say, which truly reveals that this is happening, that this was always a means to an end, in part. I truly believe there's more nefarious things to that, but that's my opinion. It was not about protection, as the science in fact shows it's the reverse. It was about compliance and vaccine coercion. If the jab does not stop transmission, how does this even make sense? Nobody wants to get into this because people just want to pretend that if you even bring that discussion up, that you're a fake news, anti-science conspiracy theorist. It is gospel. They reflexively don't talk, reflexively dismiss these things. And here's my point. So this, oh, I think I already had it up. Yeah, I'm mixing myself up here. Well, so I said, and this comes out from the FBI. Let me grab that so I don't double it up. Another telling statement. Now, the FBI says, right as this is happening, right? Right when the mask thing shifts, the FBI warns of prison time if you present a fake vaccination card. Really? Like, okay, so that's an obvious thing. I said, another telling statement, more of an accidental admission. Much to unpack here. Two main points. One, if this is an issue at all, it shows that a lot of people are refusing this, which we know, but they're trying to hide that point. Two, this implies your future will include presenting your vaccine credentials often enough that this is necessary. They must know this is leading, this is very obviously leading in this direction of being like, if they won't threaten you with prison time, they wouldn't try to enforce something like this if this wasn't going to be a regular occurrence. So they're, in my opinion, that's what this leads to right here. This one. So this tweet that I'm showing, the idea of this and my thought here about how they know this is what's coming, and this part here about talking about the masks means to an end, it creates the infrastructure for vaccine passports, does it not? And that's even without the government enforcement. It just simply creates this construct where people that are obeying the general direction will continue to do this. If we see a, and this is the important part right now, if we see a seamless transition from basically everyone must wear a mask at all times to everyone must now prove they're vaccinated at every transaction in order to not have to wear a mask, this was always the point. That's my opinion. But think about that transition, because we all know this hasn't been really enforced. Depending on where you are, it's been enforced by individuals, store owners, security guards. We're not seeing, I mean, in bad places, in bad cases, we're seeing people arrested in violent ways in like the UK and New Zealand. But in a general sense, especially in the United States, it's been, at least maybe just where I am, it's been more about like, you know, your weird looks, but people kind of let it pass, especially as some places remove mask mandates and this thing begins to dissipate. But then we switch over to, okay, fine, you can all take them off only if you're vaccinated. And there's no way to enforce that unless it's in every interaction and every transaction. Every one of them, right? So every time you want to go on a bus, go in the store, watch a movie, go to the bar, there's going to be something, if this is what I think is going to happen, they're going to say, okay, let me see your, you know, you don't have a mask on, let me see your vaccine card, right? That is way more intensive than what's happening now. You see, that's an increase, not a decrease. And that scares me. I think this is what's happening. Vaccine, FBI is involved with your vaccine cards. And remember, this is only until they get to some kind of actual technological step, which I think is already being bled. But right as I'm talking about this, like this is like probably an hour before I was giving those tweets, here's what Biden puts out. The rule is simple now. The rule from the president of the United States, get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. Well, that's pretty damn definitive, isn't it? Now we know that there are places like in Tennessee, like I just pointed out, that aren't really doing that. So what's going to happen? Is there going to be some kind of enforcement, or was that never the point? Was it simply to create the gray area for people to go out in general and pretend like they don't have to when it's over, so something happens, or will this be forced in? I think it's a valid thing to ask whether or not we're all being let around each other for some reason, because it seems to happen so abruptly. Now people are out rubbing shoulders. And half of them are thinking, well, this was never real to begin with, and maybe now there is something. I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm just saying, based on my research and based on what I know, they're literally testing now, including self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, self-spreading vaccines, as Johns Hopkins talked about. They're literally testing this stuff now. I showed you the documents. So is it not even possible that thing could slip out? Sort of like what we talked about with the things coming from the BSL-4 labs, Fort Detrick and so on. Of course it is. So it's a valid question to wonder. And as Parson points out, this is science, The vaccination might kill you and the mask might make you sick. That's the choice, right? Now, he's not saying that it's always going to do that. We know, as a matter of fact, the vaccine can kill you. That's a fact. We already saw the confirmation of the vaccine-induced thrombosis thrombocytopenia, as well as a hell of a lot more, but that's the easiest one to point to because it's proven. Norway proved that and the U.S. government acknowledged VITT. They're claiming the vaccine did this. So yes, they can kill you. And the mask can clearly make you sick, as well, as long as you're willing to look at science and not pretend that you know the science because you watched mainstream media. It's painfully obvious. So they're saying, do this thing that might make you sick or take this thing that might kill you. What if you're not at risk at all? What if you've got a 0% chance of dying or getting sick from COVID, according to the CDC? Why would you do it? Doesn't matter, though, because they're forcing it on everybody over 12 right now. And even children are being vaccinated, right? Look up the data. There's already been children that have died from this, children in studies that have died, but thousands of children that have been vaccinated under 12. How would you explain that for me? Because they're not following the rules. As he points out, zero mention of natural immunity. Well, isn't that telling? Right? So get the vaccine. So what if I'm already immune because I've got what the NIH calls lasting immunity? Right? What about that? Here's the NIH. January 26, 2021, lasting immunity found after COVID-19 recovery. Okay, so what about that? I guess it doesn't matter. Just like Israel, just like I told you, it's about vaccine or nothing, vaccine or bust. Natural immunity, as they point out in that article I just showed you, specifically natural immunity from COVID-19, in their narrative, understand, lasts longer than this experimental injection. That's what they say themselves. Okay, so why then wouldn't it be mentioned? Why wouldn't it be included in the discussion? Because it's not about any kind of immunity, which makes me question the whole point of herd immunity in regard to the narrative and the agenda, which then leads to that point about why we're all being shoved back together again. Again, let's not pretend like I'm not happy about that. All this should go away, but why is it happening now? Let's not pretend it's because we're pushing back. Oh, and I already included this. Oh, this was the important part. It just that he also points out, or this person comments, we need to watch out for ID 2020. Because we haven't talked about that in a while, but this is not some fake news story. ID 2020, you can look up right now, and I actually should have grabbed it for this, but I was in a rush, is openly tied to vaccinations. That's not a secret. They're talking about creating an international ID that will be tied to your vaccination record. I mean, why not? Why was that? That was one of the things we talked about early in all of this. The old fake news, as always. So now that they're creating the apparent infrastructure for this, I argue this will come and they'll pretend like it's not linked to it. Oh, this isn't about COVID. We've been doing this for years. Yeah. But way down in the fine print, oh, it's about vaccine status too. And guess what? We might as well link it to COVID then for safety, right? As they always pretend to be, oh, we didn't plan on this. It just seems to make sense. Well, as KDS Pang here from NBC mainstream media points out, so how does one tell the difference between a fully vaccinated person and not vaccinated person? Ah, so this is just a plant question, because what they want you to start asking, what they want you to do is they want us to be like, well, we need vaccine cards and passports because that's the only way. And this is about making you think like you came up with the idea that she's already thinking about when she posts that question. That's the point, because this is where it will lead, because they're going to point this out and be like, well, what do we do now? Well, we're trying to do what's right for you, but now we don't know how to verify. Yes, you do, because you already have thousands of programs in place for exactly that. So this is a stupid argument, someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, or someone that knows that's the plan, who's trying to kind of just slowly nudge you in the right direction. Because let's not pretend like that's not what media does today in the mainstream. They are coercive. They have an agenda. They have a narrative that they want to push. And they push it, whether in manipulative ways or not. But this person says, I love this comment, because you know what? He's probably whoever he or she is probably exactly right. The one wearing the mask will be the fully vaccinated person. Well put. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, he's probably right. Because right now, the people out there that are vaccinated are the ones that are believing all of this, believing that they're in danger, and probably still going to wear a mask because the government still tells them to. But all the people out there without it are probably the ones that aren't, because they're not worried about it. And it just shows you how absurd this whole thing is. Well put, though. But this was my point. This is a person responding to Katie Pang. Fang. It says, was it too much to ask that every vaccination card be the size to fit in a wallet? Of course. Everybody's already carrying it though, right now. And it says, easy peasy, wearing this around my neck with no mask as soon as I'm past my post-second dose. Wait a minute, but the government just told you, Emily, that you're not supposed to stop wearing your mask. So are you not trusting the science? Isn't that funny? So it's like they are trusting narrative, even like this is such a strange development, right? So the people that they're trusting to get this are telling them to wear a mask, but she's not going to do it anyway. So she's simultaneously in all sense, not trusting the science because she's not looking at what the real science is, but then within her own illusion, not trusting what they're telling her the science is because why? I don't even understand it. Like these people are lost. But sure, wear that around your neck everywhere you go for the rest of your life so you don't have to wear a mask, even though they're telling you to. And hopefully I leave it there. It's just crazy to me how much of this is going on. This is even worse. Rob James says, and she's asking, how do we tell the difference? Well, this very lost individual in the two-party illusion says, use these tactics to tell if someone's unvaccinated. They have a Trump hat, a Trump sticker. And they ask to speak to the manager. They say things like global warming is a myth. They brag about guns. They have a Parler account. Like this guy's this is one of the lot people like this are completely lost. If you are that dumb to think that every person in one party is exactly the same because you think that's, you know, this is the same as Republicans framing every Democrat in the same stupid way. Rob James is some of the lost people around. But here's a great comment to this. She says, I'm a Trump supporter. I don't wear MAGA clothing, but I do wear a flag pin. By the way, I'm vaccinated. Don't need to speak to the manager because I am a manager. Right? On and on. It just shows you how stupid this person is because this is a Trump supporter and she's vaccinated. Like, it's not hard to realize, especially because Trump is continuing to push that vaccine. Actually, I forgot that I wanted to grab that. This is an important point, especially for people who are Trump supporters. You know, I mean, this guy has been aggressively pushing this vaccine and just did again right here. And I just want people to understand, like, it's crazy to me that you don't realize that he is just as much pushing this as anybody else. Where was I? Oh, it was right there at the end. Okay. Donald Trump. Isn't it incredible that because of the vaccines, which I and my administration came up with years ahead of schedule? No, all you did was rush safety testing. You didn't come up with anything. This was done. As they try to manipulate you by saying, which is true, they've been working on this technology for a long time. But what they leave out is they failed repeatedly, 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 up until now where they simultaneously succeed, because that totally makes sense. But they didn't rush. They didn't come up with anything. Like, what they did was apply it, even though they failed before. And then just rush through the study. So when you failed over and over and over and hurt people in the past trials, that's the time you don't rush it, Donald Trump. But they rushed it. Warp speed. That's why they're trying to cover this up as best they can. Despite the fact that everybody, including Fauci, said it would never happen. He says that we no longer need masks, and yet our names are not even mentioned in what everyone's calling the modern day miracle vaccines. So Trump is more than ever pushing this vaccine. Without the vaccine, this world would have been another 1917 flu. It's 1918, technically, where up to 100 million people died because of the vaccines we pushed and developed in record time. Nothing like what will ever be close to happening. Nothing like that will be even close to happening. I don't even know what that means. Just to mention, please. Oh, the Biden administration has zero to do with it. All they did was continue our plan of distribution, which was working well right from the beginning, which really, this is such a dumb political statement. I'm so tired of people lost in this two-party illusion and these absolute morons continuing to spread political nonsense in the midst of one of the most important subversions of our rights in American history. People that support him will then, it just drives me crazy. Stop supporting politicians. Support yourself. Support what you believe in. Even if you think he supports that, support yourself and what you believe in and stop just leaning into people. I said, still hawking that vaccine? Where are you at, Trump supporters? No longer 4D chess if you're not even playing the game. This is him supporting the vaccine. We need to see this. And this is one of the worst. This is the front lines, of my opinion, of the problem. Just before we get into the vaccine, a great point. Toxic PFAS chemicals found in 100% of breast milk samples. 100%. Public health advocates demanded federal action to ban the use of toxic forever chemicals after 100% of breast milk samples were found to be contaminated with PFAS at levels of 2,000 times those considered safe for drinking water. Gee, I wonder if that has something to do with driving people into that fake milk that Bill Gates is working on, or people are. I mean, Jews, this is crazy. And all this really shows you is that the same people involved with checking these things, you know, the FDA, the CDC, the government regulatory agencies, your government in general, don't care about you. They will hide and cover up and despair. This is exactly, I always point out the Teflon story. They actually made a movie about that. It's worth looking into. Their government knew, the company knew they were killing people. For years, they covered it up. Why do we think this is any different today? Because you feel like you know Biden? That is the illusion. You feel like you know Trump? They're all playing you for their own reasons. Or maybe they believe they're doing the right thing, and they're completely lost. At the end of the day, it leads to this. It leads to a lack of concern for your well-being, even though they fight under that guise the entire time. You know how long this has been going on? 100%. It's the same point as glyphosate being in literally everything all the time. It's in your clothes. It's in the air. It's in your urine. And that's an easy thing to look up. Why? Because it's ubiquitous. It is one of the most dangerous chemicals I think have been used widely in our history. And it's saturated the planet. Let's pretend like that's not causing any health issues, though. You've seen the studies, and we've also seen the ones that Monsanto paid for to cover those ones up, because we know how pliable our government regulatory agencies are. But bringing this into COVID deaths, putting the numbers in perspective, another great one from The Defender, according to the data from Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more people died of the flu in 2017. Well, technically, I think this headline is why people are confused about this. Let's not read that, because that's not, I think it's not the flu. It's people who died in 2017 when there was a bad flu season. Actually, when I read this too, I was a little bit confused. I think it's because of this opening line. So they make it clear down here, but I was looking at the comments and someone else misconstrued it like I did. Now, here's the point. In February, the CDC reported it attributed 376,506 deaths in 2020 to COVID-19. Remember, we know as a matter of fact, that number is overblown. As I say, to what degree, that's debatable, but it's a fact because they've admitted it. They are counting numbers. They're being liberal with the death counts. We're adding anybody who died after a test in 28 days. They've all said these out loud and it never stopped. That means there's people that are included that are not actually part of that number, including the combination of flu and influenza numbers or flu and pneumonia numbers. And flu is zeroed out. It was almost gone in 2020 at the end too. So we know that. Anyway, the point is under 400,000. 376,000. Each death is regrettable, but to put that number in perspective, the COVID deaths in 2020 were actually lower than the 401,000 excess deaths in 2017 in general, right? So how does that make sense? How can we be in the worst pandemic in a century when we had more excess deaths in 2017? That's a fact. A bad flu year was happening then. This finding mirrors excess death data from other countries where excess deaths were also higher in 2017 than in 2020. Now, you could argue, like, looking at this, saying, okay, 2020 lower than that, even like, including things like the excess deaths from lockdowns and so on. So you can see how this can be skewed a little bit, but at the end of the day, we're simply talking about the comparison. It's really just about perspective. The same thing we talk about, like seeing, for instance, that over a million people died of, was it tuberculosis? Well, I'll leave that point off since I'm not forgetting the term, but I swear that's what it was. Dang it. Well, it's a good point. The point was there's something, I don't want to name it because I don't want to be wrong, but, and we've talked about it. The stat is correct, but that there's over a million deaths regarding this one illness, and it's contagious. And it's across a year, and there wasn't a pandemic. Nobody flipped out. It's way more than we said we had from this. So it's just a point is it's all about narrative and framing. But the point is, guys, that we have to realize that there's a lot more going on here. And the data can always be gamed. And here's the actual study. Excess mortality in the United States in 21st century. It says applying European age-specific death rates in 2017 to the U.S. population, we then showed the adverse mortality conditions in the United States resulted in 400,000 excess deaths. I want that. Let me do it. There it is. All right, just so we know that is accurate. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Like, perspective matters. And that's why they want to give you these weird little screenshots of certain areas at certain times and be like, look how bad that is, right? But this brings us into a discussion about vaccines to start this off, but more specifically about microchips. This is something shared by Clint Torres. Thank you for sharing this. And Whitney pulls out one paragraph and tags me that is just so crazy. Right out of the article, I'll read it to you. In a post-coronavirus world, it's not difficult to see the immediate benefits of mass injections of benign devices capable of monitoring your temperature. One day, of course, way down the line, of course, as they always tend to do, something like this could be an early warning system to officials of a brewing pandemic, right? So post-coronavirus world, so they're already kind of setting the tone that we're past this, even though like that seems to be what they're leaning into, even though the data didn't change, right? According to what they're bleeding fear-mongering from like 3 days ago, it's like, whoa, it seems to be that we just were like, we're all going to die to, hey, we're winning now. Now we can slow down, except you guys, without vaccines. Right? It's just very strange. And I feel like it's everybody feels how disjointed this was. But let's look at this, because the point of this discussion is how wildly dishonest these people are. How they're laying shade and they're playing games around things that are absolutely real. Does that mean they're being used on you right now? Not necessarily, but it's very real. Forgetting them, I have half an hour left. So let's go through this. Smallest ever injectable chip hints at new cybernetic medicine. Electronics are getting imperceptibly small. Like getting, remember how we talked about this many times, how we've talked about in 2004, and I showed you the expert discussing this. In interest of time, I didn't bring it up today. 2004, they had smart dust the size of an eighth of a grain of salt. Dust, you blow it in the air. It's dust. You couldn't even see it. And it works off the energy of your body. Now, this is what's different is this is actually a single microchip system. That's like, it seems like it has its own, it's a microchip as opposed to something that you could argue is not technically a microchip, but still functions in a similar way that can still send signals and work on your body's energy. But to say that this is getting imperceptibly small, it's like we've been there for a decade or more, multiple decades. Like, it's just funny. But I think there's a reason they kind of continue to do that. It says opening new avenues for medical technology to place advanced monitoring and treatment devices inside our bodies. Now, you realize how crazy it is that this, people who are talking about this, even in a broad sense, right? Like, that this is technology that isn't, like, or think about, I mean, really, think about the question put to Bill Gates and his wife on that thing, asking about microchips. And her literal response was like, there's not, that technology doesn't even exist. They're funding some of that technology. Do you not realize how alarming that is? Let's not pretend like she just forgot. They were hiding this because whether they were trying to hide the conspiracy theory and they thought that would work, or they're hiding it because something else is happening. That was clear. So the reality is this is possible. But let me keep going. And the point was that they're openly talking about these going inside your body from a vaccination. So isn't it crazy the thing that they're laughing at you for so there, and they're now going, hey, this is the greatest new thing, exactly for what we said it would be for. And Columbia University engineers just demonstrated a new and revolutionary vision of this, creating the world's smallest single chip system. That's why I think that's an accurate statement, because it's specifically single chip system as opposed to the smart dust, which, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're hiding the fact that this isn't the single smallest one. But in any case, according to the recent study, which is next, I'll show you that next, a tiny computer chip was implanted into seven mice at once, right? So just so we understand, this is a microchip. Remember how the media flipped out about that one article that says, that's not a microchip. It's actually something different. You're all fake news. Well, they were, and that article, they tried to pretend like this didn't exist. If it's coming out now as being real and they're actually, it's in their hands, it's been worked on long before that, which then shows you again, the media doesn't know how to do due diligence. It doesn't care, or they were hiding this for some reason. The injectable chip could serve as an early warning sign. You know how long me and Whitney have been talking about this? Whitney and I have been talking about this? Medical pre-crime, guys. Medical pre-crime. That's what this is about. Now, you could pretend it's all for your best interest, but we know how right now police, government, military abuse these things in isolated cases and in really large cases sometimes. So let's not pretend like they won't be like, oh, that whole protest group, we just got early warning signs that you're all about to get sick, so shut it down. Or however you think it plays out. This is medical pre-crime. You're gonna get sick, so quarantine, arrest them. And it says the tiny chips could also be implanted in the human body. What does this sound like? It sounds like what Klaus Schwab was just talking about, or in 2016 was just talking about. And the clip I show you where they're talking about combining your biology with technology. Right? But this is an open discussion.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
clear. This is not this is an open secret. And then communicate measured information and data wirelessly. So let's pretend like it'll all be stopped at making sure your temperature's low, right? This is going to be wirelessly communicating location data, biometric data, all sorts of things. Then it goes on to say, as the device stands, it can only measure body temperature, as they claim. I don't know why that would be the only thing that would make sense, but it could eventually also monitor respiratory function, glucose levels, blood pressure. Right, right. Right now, it's just temperature. That's where we stopped, I'm sure. This means that military's been using it. If this thing is in existence, it's already been tested, been used, been played with. This is how it always goes. If you're reading about it, the military's already employed it. That is pretty much how this always goes. And it's not just temperature. By the way, I know that because we've already seen the introduction of these things in the past that have had far more. But it says, in a post-coronavirus world, again, it's not difficult to see the immediate benefits of mass injections of benign devices, or so we're told, capable of monitoring your temperature. One day, something like this could be an early warning system to officials of a brewing pandemic. Okay, well, when they're telling you the next pandemic is like right around the corner, let's not pretend like this one day is a decade, months from now, right? Let's just say they all of a sudden go, oh, variant, new thing, danger. Well, they're going to lean into the new technology. That is the plan. Something like this could be used. And while the tiny computer chip is still in its earliest stages, there's much more to expect as medical technology begins to push into tomorrow's cybernetics. What do you know? This is the study of it from May 7th, 2021. Application of sub 0.1 mm, I don't know, I think it's implantable mote for in vivo real-time wireless temperature sensing. It says, and this is interesting too, because remember, we keep telling you this has been coming. So when Bill Gates' ex-wife, or about to be, says, there's not even nothing like that, and people act like we're crazy for discussing this fake news story. Well, here's what the science says. There's been an increasing interest in wireless miniaturized implantable medical devices for in vivo and in situ psychological monitoring. Oh, weird. There's been an increase in interest. If they're talking about an increase in interest, that means the government. That means people that are funding this research. So there you go. Your government is interested in miniaturized implantable medical devices. Of course they are, because if you actually pay attention to what we report, they've been talking about it and researching it and praising it for decades. But the media pretends it's fake and people lost in the two-party illusion all laugh. Here we present such an implant that uses a conventional ultrasound imager for wireless powering and data communication and acts as a probe for real-time temperature sensing, including the monitoring of body temperature and temperature changes resulting in therapeutic application of ultrasound. Great. Well, moving forward, in the interest of time, there's plenty more I could say on this, but it's amazing how we're shifting away from this, right? This seems to be kind of like the futuristic direction, possibly starting not in the very near future or the far future. But this shift, and this technically probably should have been on that other part right there, is very telling, right? This has been the point where look, I'm going to just play this first. This, as you've seen many times, is what the WHO said about lockdowns months and months and months ago.
I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus.
And he goes on to say that all it does is make poor people poorer and it's killing people. And of course, they didn't care. All your governments in the West said, you can't challenge WHO. And then they said, but we don't like what you just said, so we're going to do it anyway. But you still can't challenge the WHO. Ridiculous. It should have all ended right there. These people are children. They're clowns. Well, the COVID vaccine, get this. The WHO speaks up and says, give these doses to India because they're struggling, not kids. What WHO is urging, don't give the vaccine to kids. Why, you say? Well, it's obvious, because they're at zero risk, because they don't need it. So they're saying, give it to India instead. But guess what? They don't care. They're going to keep giving it to kids. And as I said, don't challenge WHO guidelines unless they say to stop lockdowns, because we like those. Don't challenge WHO guidelines unless they say not to vaccinate kids at the moment, because we like testing on kids. But you can't challenge them, though. This is stupid. They're telling you, everybody, not to do this at the moment. And you can read it for yourself. So who's challenging WHO guidelines now? Multiple guidelines. Your government. but we're fake news and we're the ones being censored. You see how crazy weird this is? It is off. Now, jumping over here, oh, I already showed you this and how pathetic this is. Strong effectiveness at reducing symptoms that went down by 3% because we're doing well, but still doesn't stop transmission, guys, as is very obvious. Here's an interesting point by Dr. Simon, PhD in biotechnology. I think I have this downloaded, actually. This is about animal testing that we told you wasn't completed, that we told you wasn't done properly. And then when we told you they seemed to rush it through, well, guess what? Seems like this is what actually happened.
And have you seen any other vaccine that was put out for the public? And have you seen any other vaccine that was put out for the public that skipped the animal test?
Never before. Especially for children.
And as I've read, they actually started the animal test, and because the animals were dying, they stopped the test.
Correct.
Folks, I think that's important to understand there, that what we're talking about is American people are now the guinea pigs. This is the test program that's going on. They didn't do the human testing, and they stopped the animal test because the animals were dying. And then they turned it out for the public. And we are now looking at businesses that want to mandate that this experimental vaccine be given to people as a condition of their employment. And yet we have this death count that continues to rise and be totally ignored.
That is just, it's unbelievable. And what's crazy to me, and this will happen, is that's your government. It's state government, but it's still your government. And we will show that because and the data's there, by the way. I know exactly what I've talked about this information, and people that don't want to believe it will look at that and be like, fake news. They're probably Republicans or whatever they can concoct that they can't verify for themselves. They'll just assume that because, well, he's saying something that I've already decided is not real. So whatever I can think up will be more certain than what he's saying based on the science in front of him. This is what's happening. It's blowing me away how willing people are to delude themselves because politics. Same with Israel and with Gaza. People that are ignoring what's happening there because of a political side are bad people. Now, real quick to Luis, I just saw that while that was happening. Remember, you're new to the channel. So this, what we're doing is broadcasting on a pirate channel because YouTube has censored routinely our content. And so we are jumping. We have about 30 plus people out there. If you want to be a part of it, reach out, email me, ryan@thelastamericanvagabond.com. I jump from channel to channel. Actually, yesterday was the same one, only because I was rushed for time. But every day I try to jump to a new channel so we can push this out on YouTube, and I promote the other ones because we don't care about YouTube. But it pisses them off because they can't throttle, they can't manipulate it until they realize that it's me over there. Right? The only reason we're doing it is because of censorship. And I hope that you've been in the show this time, this period of time. You can clearly tell that what we're doing is basing this off real data, the science, the actual scientific documents that verify what we're saying, and they censor that. Hopefully that is showing people new to this channel the absurdity of how this is happening and why I need to do this. But on that note, actually, I would ask that you guys go to this channel instead and support Super You, which is the new platform, as opposed to the broken jalopy dumpster fire that has become YouTube. But going back to the point, stopping the animal trials because they killed a bunch of people while they're now forcing this for people that have to go back to school is sinister. I mean, and the worst part is that people know this stuff, right? There are people in the government that know this stuff and are still supporting it because they don't care. Oh, this is the actual, if you want to watch the full thing, as this is what we do on the show, give you all the information, you can watch it for yourself. And this is just kind of funny to include a little bit of brevity in between all the horrific realities. Somebody asking, does this vaccine provide immunity? The nurse says, only for the manufacturer. Well played. And it's macabre because it's pretty sad, but that's the truth. It's just the truth. And it's unbelievable. But I got to make that my meme of the day. Don't forget. But this is what we're seeing. Yankees suffer COVID resurgence as 8 fully vaccinated players, meaning they have 2 shots, weeks later, test positive. Now, that could be because the vaccine is creating things that they then test positive for, which some of these scientists have said. It could mean that they caught it afterward because this thing doesn't stop transmission. It could be because they got sick because of the vaccine. All these things have been very real world shown. Now, I can't verify anything other than the fact that this thing can still be caught afterward if you still believe that's really what's happening. because that's what their data has shown. But isn't this ridiculous? Like, again, back to the mask point. If this is happening, which they know it is because they're telling you that, how are we pretending that that makes any sense other than one, giving a reward to people who are taking this dangerous injection, or to maybe drive everyone back together so whatever's going on with this continues to happen? I don't know. Here's a shocking example of this is basically the story is distracted nurse gives woman 6 doses of COVID vaccine in a single shot. Unbelievable. As I said, anyone cares? As I said, how is it even possible? With each shot, it contains 0.3 milliliters and the vials are holding 0.45 milliliters, according to Pfizer and the FDA. How are we to believe that she went through multiple vials and is still? The point is, as somebody in the bottom of the chats points out, that there's the dilution that you have to add. Now, I have gone back and forth. Either way you spin this, it is crazy to pretend that it was normal to accidentally give someone 6 doses in one shot. I find that to be ridiculous, even understanding the dilution process. But see, I've heard different from 2 different people, both of them nurses, but in any case, the point is you have to dilute this down. Now, somebody down here breaks this down after he gives me this stupidly snide response, which he actually follows up with being sort of kind. I just thought it was kind of funny. But what he's saying here is that it breaks down to times 6 to that much. But in any case, this is what I kept saying to him. Like, really, at the end of the day, it doesn't, I don't have to read it, but the point is, like, don't you then, what you just explained is still wildly suspect, right? The point is, in any case, how often we've seen this continue to happen either means that these people are some of the most wildly incompetent people out there. And maybe that's the case. Maybe that's why they're doing it at a Walgreens and a bar and a Waffle House. I mean, these are all happening at a Publix. We just saw that video sitting in a chair at Publix where no one knows what to do, right? Maybe that's the case, but either way, so suspect to me. And this means that they had to go through all this, and then either pull all of it out, which means that how would you possibly make that mistake if you've been doing this repetitively all day? I don't know. Are mistakes possible? Yes. But when you continue to see this happen, something I tend to think we are being experimented on. It's my opinion. But another quick point on this document, once again, I did notice something interesting that I missed. So one of these, or just on the other show the other day, one of these is a fact sheet for healthcare providers, which we've gone over both in the past. I pulled up, I think, the wrong one the other day when I was looking for that mandatory part. But I wanted to show this one more time. And this is the new updated one from May 10th, 2021. As it says right here, mandatory requirements for Pfizer BioNTech vaccine administration. So these are the people that are giving this. And again, just in case you forgot, this is an unapproved Pfizer COVID vaccine for active immunization to prevent COVID-19. Unapproved. But they wanted to make sure you know that you have to tell people, mandatory, that Pfizer BioNTech COVID vaccine is authorized for use in individuals 12 or older, right? Not approved. The vaccination provider must communicate to whoever is getting it all the information on this document, which includes that it is unapproved, it's only emergency authorized, that we don't know if it'll stop transmission, all this stuff, which they list. And yet that's not happening. Nobody anywhere is getting told this stuff. Ask everybody online right now, you got the vaccine, was it approved? Of course it is. They all told us it was. Well, no, they didn't. They just let you assume that. Maybe they did actually, but it's not true. And here's Pfizer and the FDA screaming with capitals, mandatory. You have to inform them that it is not. And they're not doing that. I just find that to be ridiculous. I think that was the only one. And then going to the next one, to show you that this is the other document. Oh, I think I just, any case, these are both included for you. This one is about the fact sheet for recipients. And it goes on to say basically the same information that this is. Oh, I think that was the one I was going to show you again. It may not. Oh, it was right up top, I think. Yeah, right here. The Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine may not protect everyone, which, of course, you people that want to believe this are going to argue, of course, because it never protects everyone. Well, yeah, that's just an easy way to just pretend to say we don't know whether it's going to work for you, because that's the point. And that's including with all the other data is verifiably obviously true. And then, of course, make sure we know that this is still in clinical trials, despite what people are screaming about. Vaccine is still being studied in clinical trials as of May 10th, 2021. Got that? This, for some reason, just doesn't want to load. I wanted to play this clip. It's a great clip. I'll get it somewhere and play this of Michael Yeadon from a different interview. But it's just a great thing. See, he just really puts this together well. Let me pause it just in case it starts playing. But I don't know why that won't happen. CDC data shows 4,000 plus reported deaths following COVID vaccines as kids 12 and older are now eligible. 4,000 reported deaths. This continues, and they don't care. All they do is try to coerce you in any way possible. This just makes me sick. Vaccination.
I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? A delicious fry?
Yuck. Like, just the way eating on a microphone, like, classless effort here, but vaccination. And New York City mayor announces Shake Shack will give free food to vaccinated New Yorkers, right? So now we've got free waffles, free beer, free Krispy Kreme, possible $1 million bribe for only 5 people in all of Ohio. We free food. They are desperate. Derek's going to write an article about all these bribes and what they, there are people that are, who agree with this, that are like, this is shady. There's something strange happening here. I want you to look at these French fries and think about how great it is to get vaccinated. What a creep. This doesn't make sense, guys. And we would all know this if we weren't lost in some psychological operation. Any other point in time, we would have been like, what is going on right now? It's propaganda. Now, quickly over to gain of function. See if I can fly through this and maybe squeeze in the last part in a couple minutes. I got about 12 minutes. James Lyons-Weiler, what is the penalty to Dr. Fauci for perjuring himself in his answers? Great question. Oh, that's where he says, you mean lying to Congress? Well, yeah, that's a good point to point it anyway. I don't remember if Fauci was sworn in. I don't remember if they did it or they normally do it. But to the Ben's point there, which I think he's saying, regardless of whether you're sworn in, it is a crime. It is a crime to lie in front of Congress, period. Whether you're sworn in or not, Fauci lied. It's a fact. Ben Swan has a video on it too. I'll show you in a second. But just to quickly run through this. This is 2014. Moratorium on research intended to create novel potential pandemic pathogens. This is the 2014 moratorium on gain of function research. Research on highly pathogenic organisms is crucial for medicine and public health. We strongly support it, they say. Well, sure, research on highly pathogenic organisms is one thing, but making those things more virulent, more dangerous, able to infect humans, that's not the same thing. But that's what they're talking about here. But that's how they frame it. It's just research on it. No, you're playing God with it. Experiments that create the possibility of initiating a pandemic should be subject to rigorous quantitative risk assessment and a search for safer alternatives before they are approved or performed. Yet, a rigorous and transparent risk assessment process for this work has not been established. This is why we support the recent announcement moratorium on funding of gain-of-function research experiments that enhance mammalian transmissibility or virulence in severe acute respiratory syndrome. Of course, SARS. Because recognized throughout this string of documents that SARS and MERS seem to be the focus on this gain-of-function research, at least during this time frame. Very telling about how that led to where we are now. But I think that was it on this one. Jumping over. No way. Somebody's saying four-year college scholarship. Oh, I got to confirm that. Damn it. This is crazy stuff. I got to look real quick. Jeez. You could get a COVID scholarship. The pandemics affect your college student. I don't see vaccine in there. Well, I'll come back to it. In any case, I'm sure it has something to do with it, right? It usually does. That's crazy. But thanks for pointing that out. But I'll confirm that for myself and talk about it later. But so this is the point, though. So gain of function 2014. We jump over to December 19th. Oh, dang it. Get rid of that. December 19th, 2017. Today, the National Institute of Health announced that it is lifting a funding pause dating back to October 2014 of gain of function. So they brought it back, understand, in 2017, right? This is all the time frame that he was asked about. We didn't. Experiments involving influenza and, of course, SARS and MERS, coronaviruses. The funding pause was lifted in response to today's release of the Department of Defense and Health and Human Services framework for guiding funding decisions on enhancing potential pandemic pathogens. Okay, so just, this is the NIH saying, yeah, we're lifting that. We're going back to doing that dangerous thing. Here's the document that he's pointing to. Framework for guiding funding decisions about proposed research involving enhanced potential pandemic pathogens. Mouthful. But the point in this is that this is their kind of walkthrough, right, for, how we're going to go through this and why we're going to be safe about this research, blah, blah, blah. Of course, it's HHS. Right? The groups and all these different groups that have been involved with some of the worst things throughout history, such as the anthrax and on and on. But December 19th, U.S. government lifts ban on risky pathogen research. The National Institute of Health will again fund research that makes viruses more dangerous. Like, it's just dumb that he pretends like this isn't happening. The U.S. government has lifted its controversial ban on funding experiments that make certain pathogens more deadly or transmissible. That is gain of function. On December 19th, the NIH announced that scientists can once again use federal money to conduct gain of function research on pathogens such as influenza viruses. The goal is to standardize a rigorous process that we really want to be sure we're doing that right. Yeah, of course you do. Right in what way, though? Now, this is an interesting one that I'm going to skip for now just for save some time, but rethinking gain of function, where they go into the idea about this, you know, that this might not be the right path, right? It's obviously where this has led, whether it was accidental or not. U.S. officials revisit rules for disclosing risky disease experiments, right? This is 2020, right? This is still happening. Like, look at, I mean, this is what we're talking about in 2020. And Fauci is pretending like this is not going on and wasn't going on. In this document, they talk about alternatives. Here's an interesting thing you might find relevant. I'm not going to be able to clearly get to the last part, but it'll be just perfect timing here. The essence of the debate around the risks and benefits of gain-of-function research and the concerns it raises have naturally encouraged virologists on both sides of the debate to consider alternative methodological approaches. During his talk, Kawoka discussed alternatives to gain-of-function research, mostly applicable to influenza research, such as loss-of-function. Now, what this means is gain-of-function or loss-of-function is kind of the two ways most of these work with this technology, or with the kind of research. I think it's, was it biology or the term they used? The point is that it's ultimately about removing things that can do or giving it things that can do more. That's gain or loss-of-function. Gain-of-function is more of the dangerous one, as it says. Use of low pathogenicity viruses and phenotypic analysis. He further cited a review paper in which Lipstitch and Galvani stated that alternative scientific approaches are not less risky, but also more likely to generate results that can be readily translated to public health benefits, right? So what he's saying here ultimately is, in his opinion, first of all, that these things are less dangerous, but not always. And you get into this discussion, they clearly talk about the point where, yeah, it can be a problem, but here's the idea, is that there's other ways to do this that can lead to better results, at least according to this doctor. And what he's saying is that sometimes we can do the gain of function because it's necessary, but guess what? It also puts people at risk, like your families, as we're clearly seeing if you believe that's what's happening here. And by the way, it's not a secret to pretend that do we know that things have leaked out of this area. Look at what's going on around Fort Detrick. Okay, so the idea is that you could do this differently. But how about we don't just strive in the direction of what you want to gain and put people at risk? How about we use the loss of function in the other direction so we're not going to put people at risk, even if it lessens your research? You see, they're willing to put you at risk, and there are alternatives. Talk to Dr. Fauci about that. Also remember that I showed you this recently. This is still going on. EcoHealth Alliance, Department of Health and Human Services, Allergy and Infectious Disease Research, working with NIAID as well. It's ongoing until June 2025, right? Now come down here, take a look at what they're doing. Understanding the risk of bat coronavirus emergence, right? This is gain-of-function research. I don't care what they're saying. This is what's always been going on. This is what they're spending, and this is what they've been doing, and it's not hard to look this up. Even during their moratorium, after 2014, they were still doing this stuff. It's easy to prove. And you can go forward and find more examples. Here's an actual breakdown of search results of EcoHealth Alliance. And you can see all the way up to 2020, the very least, that they're continuing to do this stuff. You can see what they're doing. Understanding the risks of zoonotic virus emergence, bat coronavirus emergence. I mean, on and on and on. All the way from, look, even going down to 2014. Understanding the risk of bat. I mean, look, right there. Right? I mean, it's just crazy. But I want you to take a moment to watch Ben Swan's new video. Fauci lied to Congress about gain-of-function research on ICE.media or ICE.media. Great video. Worth your time. Finally, another quick note before we have to wrap this up. I'm definitely going to revisit the discussion of Biden's new thing because it is pretty wild. But this is back from 2020. And it's talking about uncanny similarity of unique inserts in what is called SARS-CoV-2 and the spike protein to HIV. We've already talked about this, but it's worth reiterating. As they say very clearly, the finding of four unique inserts in SARS-CoV-2, which, remember, it was 2019 nCoV before they named it, all, and by the way, which was exactly the name they used in Event 201, surprise, surprise, all of which have identity similarity to amino acid residues in key structure proteins of HIV-1, is unlikely to be fortuitous in nature. It's a kind way of saying, Ryan, link the next show. Oh, remember, I told you guys I don't have it. Remember, I don't know if it's live or not, but I'll find out for you. I'll get it when I'm done. But it says, fortuitous in nature means, you know, that's a nice way of saying that this is most likely not natural. And of course, realizing that the spike protein is the whole point. We found four insertions in the spike glycoprotein, which are unique to SARS-CoV-2 and are not present in other coronaviruses, right? Importantly, amino acid residues in all four inserts have identity or similarity to those in HIV. People like Dr. Mikovits would have a lot to say about that, right? There's people like Dr. Boyle who have said HIV itself was a bioweapon. There's a lot going on here. Now, stand back and think about everything we've discovered since then. There's something going on here, guys. Now, I'm not even trying to lean back in. I'm still open to whether this is a manipulated bioweapon or something that they're lying about. At the end of the day, it's not a secret that they are manipulating all sorts of things or trying to. So we shouldn't hone in on just one thing. I'm still wondering whether we're talking about the virus mimicking transistor stuff. Like, that could be exactly what this, I mean, who knows? But what we do know is that they're trying to make these things dangerous. That's crazy. And ask yourself to finish out why the FDA gets nearly half its funding from companies that it regulates. You're being lied to. And it's time to wake up. Now, we're going through this in a new show, and a show coming up soon. Thank you for being here today, guys. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.